I had prepared a message for last Sunday, being Valentine's Day, and I even had some little Snickers with Valentine's on them I was going to give to you, but I ate them. And it was a thought that counts, right? But anyway, I think this is so fitting for even today. The love of God that passes all understanding, that we need to share that in that love. We have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. If you notice in what I told you earlier, that two kinds of people enter the room. Hey, here I am. Or, hey, there you are. And I think we need to be that kind of Christian people. We need to be that kind of individual that prefers our brother before us and make sure that they are okay and that they're all right and you share that love of God. And I'll explain a little bit more to you with you concerning the scriptures concerning that. I'm not going to keep you very long. You've been snowed in, and I don't want you to feel that way this morning, but isn't it awesome to feel the presence of God? I want to tell you before I forget, one of the great reasons, no, I was wondering how to put it, thank you, now I did, what was I going to say? One of the reasons, main reasons that we're able to have church today, number one, I thank God for the sunshine, but I appreciate Brother David Cox. Wasn't asked. He showed up out here to help me with a couple of shovels. And we got the parking lot and the sidewalks cleared off. Brother Dave, my heart goes out to you, buddy. And I was thinking yesterday as I circled the parking lot, I thank God for you. Help me where we could have church today. I want you to know there was a lot more snow in this parking lot than you can imagine. You can imagine. So with that being said, if you will turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, I want to take as my text. And I want to take it kind of slow, but if there again, I'm not going to keep you all day. We're going to come back tonight, God being willing. We're going to finish our message and our lesson on demonology and how to recognize demons and how to come against them in Jesus' name. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse number 4, would you stand one more time in reverence to God's word? And I've got some scriptures to help us understand even more how we need to reverence God's word and his love. It tells us there, Paul's telling the church at Corinth, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It's always patient, it's always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, for love never fails. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Although this is not completely for married people, it certainly is a context for married people. Amen, Pastor. That was really good. It is a passage of scripture that if we would take the whole thing and put it into our hearts and exemplify God's word, there'd be a lot less divorces. There'd be a whole lot less broken relationships. There would be a whole lot less churches separated. People would learn to love the way Christ loved. If Christ got upset at us as easy as we get upset with people, we'd be in bad shape. But I want you to know there's reasons in our world today why it is in the shape that it is in. Matthew tells us that because that wickedness increases, the love of a lot of people will wax cold. Wickedness plays a great part in an individual's ability to love. You understand that? And I can like to put it like this. The wickedness that we understand, we see, and we feel, we hear on the news, the wickedness in our world today actually suppresses love. It pushes us out. It pushes it to the side. It makes us be leery of those around about us or what's going on. So we understand and know the wickedness in our world today, right? And if we're not careful, if we don't center under Jesus Christ, if we don't stay close to Him, it will suppress the love that God has given us that we can give to others. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." If you look at that passage of Scripture, and even though I'm not fully qualified to bring psychology into it, but you'll understand the psychology that Paul is telling Timothy in those first four verses is that people have some emotional problems. Hello? Are you with me? We live in a society, in a world that has emotional problems. You know what the number one sign is of people having emotional problems? Actually, it's the second. It's having hair on the back of your knuckles. You know what the first one is? Emotional problems is when you're looking for them. Everybody's looking. We live in a society. People have, some of you was looking at me like he has lost it. It's the cold weather. I'll thaw out after a while. But we live in a society. People have emotional problems. People don't have to have a reason to hate anymore. People don't have to have a reason to be discontented anymore. That they just do it because the wickedness has abound and love has waxed cold. And we sit in every aspect of our world. I don't even have to go there. But emotional problems pays a great contribute to those. And the reason it does in those four verses that I read to you is because of self-centeredness. Kind of like what I mentioned to you a while ago when those that enter the room. Self-centeredness. Somebody say self-centeredness. You know what self-centeredness does? It kills love. It literally kills love. There's people in our world today that you meet them for the first time and you don't have any trouble loving them. It just comes natural, right? That's the way you all when you met me. Right. Good thing I got my glasses on. Can't see your facial expressions. And then there's some people that you meet, you have to learn to love. Hello? You have to learn to love. Whichever it is, in our spiritual lives, we need to love like Christ loved. In the late 1960s, it brought a spirit into our society and our world called the flower child, the free love. When I think of that, I think of the little Volkswagen vans that had flowers all over them. But you think about the free love, the flower child, and all that today, it seems pretty distant with the way our society is right now, right? People hating each other just because. The Bible tells us in the last days the love of many will wax cold, and we have discussed that. But I want to share with you for just the next few minutes today, whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you're looking, whether you ain't looking, whatever it is, I just want to share with you some few things here this morning. Have you ever felt let down by love? Have you ever, sure we all have at one point in our life, we have felt let down by love. I'm sure all of us have at one time or another, you have felt let down. Broken relationships, divorce, separation, and words that seem to sear like a red hot iron. Anybody experience those things? And I want you to know today that divorce can be bitter. Relationships can turn bitter. But I want to assure you today that it's worth loving again. Hello? And again, I'm not talking about sweethearts. I'm not talking about that in particular, even though it's a part of it. But I'm also talking about friends. I'm talking about co-workers. I'm even talking about people at church. And if we're not careful, we can allow differences and misunderstandings to separate our relationship, and it kills love. Things that can sting and cause a person to never ever want to love or trust again. It splits marriages, it splits churches, it splits relationships. Just as promises get broken, hearts can get broken as well. Listen, when the expectations of love doesn't fulfill the obligation, we have a tendency to get hurt, to be broken. Circumstances in our society today seem to be very common and can create a division that needs Christ to repair. And can I assure you today that Christ specializes in broken things? Perhaps one of the biggest things that we deal with today is misunderstanding, and we don't take the time to try to understand. Let me say that again. Probably one of the biggest things that creates these things is misunderstanding, and we don't try to understand. We seen somebody driving down the road being stupid. We just think they're stupid. Huh? There may be a reason they're driving erratically. I got a feeling I better leave that right there. But in these circumstances, Jesus specializes in broken things. I feel in my spirit and in my soul right now that I'm talking to somebody. I'm reaching down to the depths of your spirit and your soul that you say, I ain't ever going to, and you emphasize, ain't ever going to trust or love again. Whether it's in a relationship, whether it's in the church, let God heal the brokenness of your hearts. The problem is we try to love outside of Christ. And when we love outside of Christ, we're going to get in trouble. When you love inside of Christ, even the most despicable are lovable. Understand, I'm having to use these words to help you understand. But God always keeps His promises. And His love never fails. But we also forget also that in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, it says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. That puts the spotlight on us as reaching out to others, correct? Several years ago, I heard this little saying that said, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I guess I'll go eat worms. A lot of people have that mentality. I might as well just go do whatever I want to do because nobody loves me, nobody cares for me. But I want you to know that Jesus does care for you. And when we love others in the relationship of Jesus Christ, is anybody listening to what I'm saying? When we love within the relationship of Jesus Christ, we'll find that we'll be a friend that somebody desperately needs. There's times in your life you don't feel like you need anybody. You don't need a friend. You don't need nothing. You don't need anything. You can handle it all on your own. But I've got news to tell you today. There's somebody around the corner that needs you. And we need to quit being self-centered and realize that there's somebody that needs you. Somebody that needs to know you care. Somebody needs to know you understand. And even though you may not fully understand it, you're there to reach out to them and to help them through Jesus Christ. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Aren't you glad his name is Jesus? Aren't you glad he doesn't get upset with you every time you get upset with somebody? You better be glad he doesn't. We've all heard this saying, it's better to love and loss than to never have loved at all. How many heard that? How many never heard that? That's the first time you've ever heard that. I'm just glad you heard that. It's better to have loved and lost than never have loved at all. Hey, I got a new one for you. I love this. This is an extension of that. It's better to have loved and lost than to have hated and won. Wow. It's better to have loved and lost than to have hated and won. Church, in our big, busy world, there may have been times you have felt forgotten, like last Sunday. Everybody was snowed in, couldn't go nowhere. Perhaps you didn't get a Valentine's, and I ate your candy while it was snowed in. You didn't get a card. You didn't get appreciated or showed or told. In this season we're in, it's easy to feel forgotten. But I want to encourage you, church. I want to encourage you. Don't give up on love. Trust and care. Find somebody that needs some understanding and care. Life is too short. And though you may have had your heart broken time and time again, I want to encourage you to put Jesus at the front of your life. And stretch yourself to trust again. Maybe you do feel forgotten. Maybe you didn't get any candy or flowers, and maybe you do feel neglected. But I've got a news flash for you. There's a God in heaven above that sees your tears, understands your broken heart. He loves you even in spite of yourself, and he wants to lift you up and help you see the sunshine of today. God has called us to love one another just as he has loved us. But the big question is how can we love so freely and keep taking chances while there is so much hate in our world today? The difference is Jesus lives inside of us. I said the difference is Jesus lives inside of us. When we walk with him, we talk with him, even on our jobs. Hey, I've been out there. I understand. I know. It's rough out there sometimes. The world is cold. Hello? And it doesn't take the snow to make it cold. But Jesus is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. How can we love when there's such a huge chance of getting hurt again? I'm so glad you ask. And again, I'm not necessarily at all, even though it's a part of it, I'm not talking about an intimate type of relationship. I'm talking about church relationship. I'm talking about husband and wife relationship. Whatever kind it is, be sure to put Christ in the middle of it all. That's the whole context of this message, is letting the love of Christ, when we go back and read 1 Corinthians, our text today, is putting Christ right big in the big middle of it. Hey, I felt in my spirit to go ahead and preach this message today. And I also feel with all that's went on, you needed somebody to tell you that Jesus loves you. I said, you need somebody to tell Jesus loved you. And I just wanted to come by today and tell you, I love you. And I heard that in my spirit. Somebody said, how can you love me when you ate my Snickers? Did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear the same thing? But I just want you to know I do love you. I care for you. Or I wouldn't bring you a message like this today. We love each other because Christ first loved us. Listen to 1 John chapter 4, beginning at 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. and we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. That's the whole picture, as I mentioned a while ago. We've got to have him at the center of all of it. Therein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. God don't want you to be afraid. Christ don't want you to be afraid. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. It's because we want the flesh to be a part of our lives, and we want the flesh to control what we don't like or do like. And when we turn it all over to God and put God in the middle, things run smoothly. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him. We love Christ. Why? Because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. And for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. It's sometimes difficult to share the message of love of Jesus Christ to others, the way they act or the way they respond. Hello? Wave at me so I'll know you're awake. It's hard sometimes to share that message of love to others because of their actions or their words. But can I tell you today again, you may be the only reason why someone will experience God's love today. Hear me closely. You may be. Your waitress or waiter may be the worst one that you've ever had, but you don't know what they went through back in the kitchen. And the only way they may feel the love of Christ is your kindness. I'm preaching good now. Hello? And if you can't be kind to them, don't tell them where you went to church. Think about it. That person that needs it, that deserves it the least, needs it the most. And we don't know what people go through. And so many of the times, we put our feelings and our emotions into it, and we don't consider what somebody else has went through. Look at your neighbor and say, I just want you to know I'm sitting by you because I love you. Now, look at them again and say it like you mean it. Know for sure, church, know for sure, somebody say know for sure, that the faithful love of Jesus never ends, nor does his mercy ever cease. My. Psalms 103:17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and in his righteousness unto his children's children. And I want to conclude with a couple of short stories, but this one last passage of Scripture in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. This is why that we have so much love and should thank God so much. Lamentations 3:22 says, it is the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Wow. It is God's mercy that he hasn't evaporated you. It's God's mercy that he hasn't evaporated me. Why? Because he loves you in spite of ourselves. He loves us and he cares for us. He wants you to have the best. He wants you to feel the love of God. And we don't get it all the time. We can dish it out, but we don't want to take it. But we know, we need to show love to one another. We need to thank God because He could have evaporated us. We often think that He's a great big God sitting up there in the sky with lightning bolts, and every time we do wrong, He zaps us with one. He doesn't do that. And the reason He don't do that, because of His mercy. He could incinerate us in an instant of time. And we owe Him love. We owe Him thanksgiving. We owe Him praise. It is the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassion fail not. And they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Ain't God good? I said, ain't God good? Great is His faithfulness. Listen, I'm going to end this on, again, a couple of short stories. I thank God for the time of prayer that we come to worship God, receive from Him. And I hope you've received something here today, and hope you'll come back tonight. I think it's supposed to stay above freezing, so you don't have no excuse to stay home. I hope you'll come back tonight and have church with us together again. But listen, one summer day in 1957, this couple headed to the courthouse for a marriage license. My husband-to-be, Steve, asked the clerk for fishing license. The lady advised him a fishing license could cost him $1.50, but a marriage license would cost him $2.50. With some thoughts and a smile, he chose the marriage license. And so our life together began, later filled with two children. Whenever we have a disagreement, she would remind her husband that he could have saved some money if he had chose the fishing license. But it would have expired within a year. And the extra dollar cost him 53 years of wedding bliss. Ain't that special? So with that, one more story. When Frank's wife had a car accident, she was so injured that she fell into a coma. Years passed, but Frank did not stop visiting his wife at the hospital, even though almost everyone else did, including the doctors. They had given up hope, but Frank remained faithful that she would someday recover. Every time he visited her, he began talking to her, recounting all those beautiful moments that they had spent with each other. One day, when he showed her the video of their wedding day, she slowly began to move her hand. And then she whispered his name and began gaining consciousness. Several weeks after, she had woken up. She had fully recovered and finally allowed to leave the hospital for good. When the couple left, she told her husband, Frank, that she had heard his voice while she was in the coma, and that it was his voice that was the greatest aid in helping her to return to consciousness. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for Your love. So thankful for Your mercy that we're not consumed and vaporized. So thankful, God, for Your love. I pray, God, that through this message and through Your word today, that we'll become more conscientious toward others, and especially those of the household of faith and those of our own families. Father God, we ask You, Lord, that the Holy Spirit, Lord, will speak to our hearts and our lives, and help us, oh God, to correct ourselves of any harsh words. But help us show the love of Jesus Christ in a world of hate and discontent, that the light of Jesus Christ will shine bright through our lives in a world that's so dark, but so desperately needs You, Jesus. Father God, bless Your people, encourage, strengthen them, and lift them up. And let the love of God and of Christ permeate our hearts, that we might win souls for You, Jesus. We thank You and we give You praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You know what? You're dismissed. Enjoy the rest of the day. Come back and be with us tonight. God bless you. I love you. Appreciate you.